This program is brought to you by the Practicing Law Institute, a nonprofit learning organization dedicated to keeping attorneys, professionals, and accountants at the forefront of knowledge and expertise.
Hey there, insecurities listeners. Chris here, sharing some insights with you from the SEC Speaks in 2024 event here in Washington, D.C. I think this is the premier event for those interested in the securities enforcement regulatory space, as well as just your average SEC watcher. Excited to share some of the thoughts we've heard in the sessions yesterday and today, as well as taking a look at what that might mean for the markets going forward. So looking to get some good insights from members of PLI, as well as some of the attendees, and get some good content to hear what you all think about what's being discussed here. Hello and welcome to the Insecurities Podcast, keeping it fresh and staying wonky on the latest securities, regulatory, and enforcement developments with a practitioner's perspective on the stories you should be following. As always, I'm Chris Ekimoff, and I'm excited to share with you a new feature from the Insecurities Podcast, the on-the-street recording and reporting. As many of you know, I was honored to attend the SEC Speaks in 2024 this week and saw many of you, our listeners, and many of our past guests in Washington, D.C. during the event. We wanted to take an opportunity to share not only the highlights that your usual Insecurities Podcast co-hosts would find interesting, but also hear directly from attendees and some of the PLI staff at the conference, talk about its operation and some of the takeaways from the commission as they spoke at SEC Speaks. But like most things in life, the first step is always the hardest, and getting that quiet space to turn on the microphone and briefly chat with SEC Speaks attendees took some getting used to. But I think getting to discuss the conference while it was occurring around us adds a great element to our normally scheduled programming. I'm sorry to say you are only going to get to hear one of your co-hosts on this episode, as Kurt wasn't able to make it to the conference this year. Before we get into those wonky and fresh topics from SEC Speaks, I had a chance to catch up with Kara O'Brien, one of the many unsung heroes of PLI's programming generally, and of SEC Speaks specifically. Kara is the Senior Vice President of Programs at PLI and helps oversee and administer the hundreds of live and on-demand programs available to PLI members. Take a listen to our chat in the lobby of the JW Marriott in Washington, D.C. during one of the networking breaks at Speaks. Hey listeners, I'm here at SEC Speaks, joined by Kara O'Brien, the Senior Vice President of Programs at PLI, and one of the people doing heavy lifting around conferences like SEC Speaks. Kara, how has everything been going this week? Talk to us a little bit about the goals of SEC Speaks and how things have been going.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. Things are going really well here at SEC Speaks. This is our return after 2 years away.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to be back in DC, have full panels of SEC speakers. All of the divisions are represented. We have a full room and about over 2,000 people on the web. So we're really excited.
I would be shocked to know that so many folks are interested in some of the nuanced and discrete topics we discuss on the Insecurities Podcast. But for other PLI programs, is this kind of a larger effort? Is this middle of the road? You know, is 2,000 a lot online or maybe smaller than some of the more general knowledge programs you guys put on?
Yeah, this is definitely a larger operation. Anytime you have to organize with a government agency, it's a lot of logistics, getting a lot of very busy, important people here to speak. But we also have other large programs at PLI in New York. A lot of hot topics lately, like AI, are drawing many thousands of people online, as you can imagine. But this is definitely, it's a big operation, so we have a lot of people on hand, as you've seen, to get it all going.
And one of the things that many of the speakers have talked about this week has been the sharing of this knowledge, not only with the attendees, not only with members of PLI, but I believe there's a free publicly available live stream of all the content.
There is. One of the things we're really happy to offer this year is a free unaccredited live stream. You can just, it's one click from PLI's website and you can watch the entire event. It's a great opportunity for people. They've mentioned it a couple times, the speakers, that it's just an opportunity for people who are not in the securities bar
right.
to access the content as they're interested, as they see fit. So it's nice we can offer that.
Yeah, and many of the, especially the commissioners when they speak, or the division heads, the SEC will often post those remarks on their own website. And so, you know, the commission has a mission to make the information available to many. This, to me, though, I think is the first time that one of these non-accredited and non-registered live streams exists. Do you know kind of what the breakdown is between attendees who are logged in as privileged PLI members or regular members and those who aren't?
That's a good question. I actually don't have that offhand, but it would be interesting to see how many people access it that way. You know, obviously lawyers are interested in getting their CLE credit, but it would be interesting. I'm sure we can pull those numbers after the fact because it's streaming both from PLI.edu and also from the SEC's website.
Yeah.
So there's two opportunities for people to access it. Probably getting a lot of the public and press as well that can watch it that way. So I would expect it's pretty big.
Do you think that's something that PLI is going to do for other events, or because of the nature of the content, it's going to be, you know, looking specifically at, you know, the SEC speaks going forward?
Right. No, I think we have already streamed some speakers from other government agencies, not the same as this, like a full day stream, but we've, you know, when a lot of times their keynotes or remarks are not accredited anyway, so we'll feature that and it'll be streaming on PLI's homepage. So we will definitely be looking to do that. You know, speakers from DOJ or other agencies that are giving keynotes, it's always, you know, it's always popular for people to see what they said.
Well, speaking of, we are halfway through day two right now. We'll be wrapping up shortly. I know you're not going to be so sad that this is over. What's the next program that folks who listen to Insecurities might be looking at on the calendar for PLI?
Oh, geez, I would have, you know, we do over 600 programs a year, Chris.
That's I expect that you would know all of them in order, right, for the year.
We do have a Directors in Spin Up, which is always very popular, but literally next on the calendar, I would have to look at the calendar.
That makes sense, and all of you listeners out there who are interested in more PLI programs, we'll be sure to share them, maybe not on the spot here at SEC Speaks, but in some of the episodes going forward.
Yeah, Carol, absolutely.
Thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you.
I'd like to say thanks to Kara for taking the time to chat with the Insecurities Podcast about the SEC Speaks program, but I'd also like to acknowledge Grace O'Hanlon, who is the program attorney for Speaks, as well as many of the other SEC Institute and other programs focused on Insecurities Podcast topics. There's also more than a dozen other support folks from PLI that helped coordinate things like lighting and sound and the live stream, dealing with facilities at the hotel and managing conference rooms and coordinating with speakers and maybe even pointing one or two lost attendees in the right direction, as well as a lot of other maybe unseen and unknown elbow grease that gets put into PLI programs like SEC Speaks. I really enjoyed getting to know some of the folks who are working there on the ground and sharing a coffee and maybe a joke during one of the networking breaks. So I look forward to seeing many of you, hopefully new Insecurities listeners, at the next PLI program. Another more timely program that's coming up, How to Prepare for an Initial Public Offering in 2024, is scheduled for April 17th and also includes a group cast option in Boston for you Beantown attorneys interested in watching the program together, as well as the standard live stream from your home or office if you aren't able to make it to New York for the event. All right, well, let's get into the meat of some of the topics that caught the attention of the attendees at Speaks this year. And who better to talk to about it than Insecurities' own lecturer in semi-regular residence, Professor J.W. Verrett. You'll remember J.W. from almost a half dozen episodes we've had over the years. He always shares his thoughts on things like market structure, crypto, as well as my favorite, accounting. And he'll share his take here on one of his favorite and a continually interesting topic to the Insecurities listeners that was touched on in the enforcement panel during the Speaks conference.
Hey there, Insecurities listeners. Chris here, live on the floor of the lobby of the SEC Speaks in 2024. I am standing here with a good friend of the podcast, a repeat guest, ratcheting up the number of appearances we've had on the show, Professor J.W. Verrett. J.W., thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, man. Good to be spend some time with you here at SEC Speaks.
So we're here. Everybody's chatting. We've got a lot of people from the commission talking in a variety of different panels. We're halfway through day two. What are your thoughts so far?
So we just had a panel from the enforcement group that went into disgorgement accounting and SEC versus Lou, and kind of building off of the show that we did together. We nerded out about disgorgement accounting totally.
I wonder if somehow they listened and maybe thought that that would make a good topic after hearing, you know, our episode together. Or maybe that was on their radar anyways.
Yeah, it could be, you know. To me, what I heard, I had to resist the urge to raise my hand in front of everybody and say, I got an article on this, everyone has to read this. But the SEC definitely took the most generous view to them in their description of disgorgement going forward. They didn't talk about net profits limitations.
Right.
They didn't want to go there, didn't want to mention it, but I would emphasize, no matter the cases, recent cases in disgorgement, SEC is still limited to net profits, and net profit accounting is still something that can incorporate more overhead than GAAP, as we talked about. That can bring those disgorgement numbers down if you do it appropriately. They didn't mention that here, but that's my way of getting a dig in here
on
the podcast.
Yeah. I like it. Well, awesome. Thanks for your thoughts, JW. We're happy to have you back on the show and looking forward to the next episode.
Thanks so much, man.
A big thank you to JW for his thoughts on disgorgement. I'd also like to take the time to say hello to all the past Insecurities Podcast guests that I got to reconnect with at the conference. I don't want to spend a lot of time name dropping, but it was wonderful to say hi to a couple commissioners, a handful of practitioners, and some in-house folks that have shared their insights with us on past episodes and continue to be at the forefront of practice in the securities enforcement and forensic accounting space. Okay, so what were the hot topics at SEC Speaks? Well, here's my quick rundown of maybe the big three takeaways for our listeners. Commissioner Peirce's remarks on day one harkened back to her secret garden speech at SEC Speaks in the past and discussed a new plant growing in that garden, with SAB 121 being the focus of her remarks. Director of Enforcement Grabir Grewal discussed what he called the three significant headwinds facing SEC enforcement that have been defined in recent cases brought against the commission, including the enforcement's authority, its motivation, and its integrity. And Chief Enforcement Accountant Ryan Wolf discussed not only the role of gatekeepers, but their responsibility and the standards that they should be held to, as well as the gates that they keep as well, discussing internal controls having been a focus of recent enforcement actions. Another through line many of the attendees noticed was the role of semantics. I remember Enforcement Director Grewal giving a speech at a white-collar crime conference a few years ago saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, that just because your client calls what they're doing a thing doesn't mean that it is that thing. His discussion then was about whether or not your client's crypto was an asset, a currency, a commodity, a token, an investment, leaning into the mechanics and operations of the thing more so than what that name is. Those semantics came into play during this conference as well, especially in my favorite, the accounting sessions. To get more wonky, startup costs are a special designation of costs in accounting that may qualify for a different treatment than other regular occurring costs based on their circumstance. Sarah Lowe, Deputy Chief Accountant for the Division of Corporate Finance, or CorpFin, discussed a comment letter discussion in which an operator of medical centers was attempting to qualify costs to build, develop, and open new medical center locations as startup costs. While, from another lens, those costs are not unique, but a function of the ongoing operations of the business of running medical centers. I thought this was an illuminating example of, yes, they are in fact incurred to quote-unquote start up a new location, but by opening dozens of locations each year, they may be contemplated as normal costs of doing business. And then on the fresh side, if you will, Chief Enforcement Accountant Wolf was quite direct in his discussion of the presentation of accounting information to the markets. He was focused on the circumstance in which the internal use and presentation of financial information is significantly different than what is externally communicated to stakeholders. Twice, he said that such a difference has, quote, no place in our financial markets, end quote. And he disclaimed that he was not just trying to sound tough, but that a significant difference in an internal analysis versus external communication was a focus of the Enforcement Division. And to wit, Jonathan Wiggins let him know that he was, in fact, sounding pretty tough. Joking aside, the semantics of those examples cut to the core of what the SEC might have summarized for the conference as follows. It's not what you say you do, it's what you do that counts when it comes to answering comment letters from the commission or responding to the Wells notice and process or in working to negotiate a resolution or settlement with the SEC. Now, if you attended the conference and have other key points that I missed that you'd like to share, don't hesitate to reach out on X or LinkedIn using hashtag InsecuritiesPod to join our discussion. If you have ideas for additional topics, guests, or episodes of Insecurities, please let us know. You can find me at Ekimoff CPA, and you can reach out to Kurt at Enforce_update. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Insecurities wherever you listen. Be well, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Insecurities, a podcast from PLI, the Practicing Law Institute. PLI is a nonprofit provider of authoritative professional services training and continuing education. In an increasingly complex business environment where intricate corporate structures reign, Insecurities can help you make sense of it all. A special thanks goes to the producer of Insecurities, Daniel Pinitz, as well as hosts Chris Ekimoff and Kurt Wolf. For more information about PLI's SEC Institute, or to view hundreds of hours of fresh and relevant on-demand programming covering changes within the security sector, visit pli.edu/membership and sign up for a privileged membership. These recorded materials are designed for educational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute legal, audit, tax, consulting, business, financial, investment, or other professional advice, and it does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please consult a qualified professional advisor before taking any action based on the information herein. Furthermore, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individual participants. These views are not the views of the hosts or their employers. Users of this podcast may save and use the podcast only for personal or other non-commercial educational purposes. No other use, including without limitation, reproduction, retransmission, or editing of this podcast may be made without the prior written permission from PLI.